Hey Pounders, this is J.R. Wilco with this week's Unnecessary Foolishness. It's episode 17 of the Superfluous Poppycock Podcast. I've got Seth Warren here with me, and we are going to talk about the next phase of the San Antonio Spurs. Transitioning from what they've been into who knows what. And man, is that a lot to talk about. I hope we can get to most of it here in the 35 minutes-ish that we set aside for each one of these podcasts. But first, Seth, welcome. How you doing?
Well, how are you?
I'm great. Thank you very much.
Dale, and just like that, we're caught up.
Yeah, that was great. That was awesome. So here's what I've been thinking. I'm going to jump right into it. We have the end of the era. We've lost, I mean, we spent last podcast, episode 16, talking about the transitions in the front court and transitions as a whole. All the guys that we've lost, Timmy's moved on, lost Boris Diaw to the Utah Jazz, Boban as well. Does not look like Matt Bonner is going to have a place in the 2016-2017 San Antonio Spurs organization as a player.
Aww.
I know. And so we're in flux, right? We've got a lot of different faces, and it's a very different situation than what we've talked about for the last, I'll say 10, 12 years as Spurs fans, where you're not talking about who are the Spurs plugging in, right, to the San Antonio machine this year.
Well, but it's also generational. I think you and I disagree somewhat on this, because I distinct while you were still vigorously rooting for the Rockets, I distinctly remember rooting for the Spurs and having the same exact uncertainty and fear and insecurity when David Robinson was nearing the end of his run. And I don't even mean nearing the very end, but I mean in the mid-90s, when we started to contemplate, you know, well, we're doing okay right now. We can't quite get over the hump, but even more importantly, what do we do tomorrow when David's gone? And it just, you know, if there's one thing that I've seen about being a Spurs fan, it's just that it always finds a way. You know, the organization always develops, and I'm not saying we're going to develop another Tim Duncan in the immediate future, but
Say it. That would be awesome.
Yeah, that'd be okay. I don't know. I try to refrain against overthinking the next step, simply because I'm nowhere near as smart as Pop and the guys involved with the organization that consistently come out of nowhere and surprise us with moves that we didn't anticipate that turn into franchise-altering moves. So I'm somewhat, you know, reserved and optimistic and positive.
Sanguine. Phlegmatic? Okay.
We're in good hands is what I'm saying.
Well, no, we're absolutely in good hands. But the roster at this point, is that 14
yes.
players with guaranteed contracts?
With David Lee, yes.
Yes, with Dave, because he has a guaranteed contract. So it's Tony, Kawhi, LaMarcus, Danny, Pau, you had Manu, you got David Lee, you got Patty Mills, you got Kyle Anderson, you got Jonathan Simmons, and then there's Davis Bertans, DeJounte Murray, Dwayne Dedmon, and LJC, right?
Right.
Olivier Jean-Charles. So you've got 14 guys now. So if they bring in a 15th, then all the guys are coming into camp know that they're not going to make it, right? So they will not bring in, I don't think they will sign. There's some Thomas Robinson rumors that are going around recently, but yeah. I don't think they can sign anyone, because everybody with a partially guaranteed contract at this point would know that they're going to be cut. Why would they even come to training camp?
Right.
Except to say, hey, I went to the Spurs training camp. You know, if that alone is enough to get an end to certain teams, and it's very possible. It seems in the past that kind of thing has happened. As soon as we cut somebody,
right,
it gets picked up by somebody else in the middle of their training camp or straight into their preseason. But so we got 14 guys. We got a lot of fresh faces. And we got a lot. This club is in transition. And so I'm not saying, you know, woe is us. I'm not saying that, you know, that anything negative at all. I mean, if anything, there's a fantastic story to tell. What player that's in the best ever of any position, or anyone that's in the top 10 or top 5 discussion, leaves his team with them still being contenders as soon as he steps out off of the roster as being the franchise cornerstone?
Well, according to Rick Bucher this week, which, and I say Bucher because it rhymes somewhat with puker. According to Rick, Steph Curry to the Spurs may be the situation you're talking about when Steph is a free agent. Mm. So we can get into that more later.
But there's opportunities out there. The team is in fantastic shape. They're contenders.
Absolutely.
They're the consensus number two team in the West.
Even without adding a major name player at this point.
Right. That would be hilarious. Steph plays a year or two with Durant that goes, you know what? I think I'm out of here. That'd be
it's typical garbage Bucher clickbait crap is what it is. It's not going to go anywhere. But it's entertaining for about 12
seconds. It's worth spending the 20 seconds on it that it would, you know, that you can imagine it and chuckle and then move on.
Yes.
But all right. But here we're in the situation now where the starting five has to be Tony, Danny, Kawhi, LaMarcus, and Powell. Right?
Right. Absolutely.
Okay. So that's one.
So we're agreeing on that. We've got five down now.
Okay. So then everything else is up for grabs. I mean, it's going to be Manu, Petty, Kyle. You know, is it Dwayne and David? Is Jonathan, how much is Jonathan Simmons in the mix? Davis Bertans? Has apparently already been told that they're looking at him primarily for the four. Does he not play a small ball five? Does David Lee come in and play small? I mean, like, there's so much that's going on surrounding what this team is going to look like. What is the rotation going to look like? I expect to see Pop do his mad scientist laboratory thing for the first 60 games
easily, if not more. Yeah, I don't see there be a rush to figure it out. I mean, I see our team. I see this conversation being essentially an eternal conversation until, what do we say, April of 2017. I mean, I think we could pretty consistently
pretty sure it's the playoffs.
I mean, we say maybe March. I mean, I just think that this is going to be a flex rebuilding year. That's all there is to it.
And this is what's crazy is that, and again, it speaks to the amazing nature of the Spurs front office, and also has a lot to do with who Tim Duncan is as an individual, to not Kobe Bryant, the franchise, essentially. Isn't that interesting? I just used Kobe Bryant's name in the exact same place I would put hamstring. Huh.
Yeah.
Anyway, so it should be Achilles tendon as well.
Well done.
Thank you.
That was nice.
So, but the point is that this is a flex rebuild year. This is like a transition year in between Duncan and whatever kind of next big three, Kawhi, LaMarcus, Danny, Davis, DeJounte. I mean, like, who's going to fill, who's going to be the third wheel of the tricycle?
Potentially. Exactly. I mean, we may even stumble immediately on a new big three. We just don't know that. So early.
Exactly. But the point is that in this flex transition rebuild-ish year, they're the consensus number two team in the West.
By default, yes.
By default. And that's the play. I mean, I talk to blog managers at SB Nation all the time that cover other teams. And, you know, we, at the beginning of every season, we make our prediction for all the teams across the board. And relentlessly, inevitably, there's somebody that goes, all right, the Spurs are going to be out of the playoffs, or they're going to be, you know, like this.
Who did you talk to on the phone that says the Spurs are going to be out of the playoffs?
I'm just being rhetorical. Not going to name it. I'm not going to name any names, but
No, please name names so we know who not to read anymore.
No, not going to name names, but I was just I messaged them afterwards because I saw their list because we filled in a spreadsheet.
Were you talking to Bucher? Was this?
That's, you know what? I don't think I would stand idly by. I think I would go ahead and pop that name if it was Bucher. But anyway, I was like, what's the deal? And the response was, well, it's going to happen sometime. So I realized that it was wishful thinking on this guy's part, right? And I was like, because that's not a, I think it will be this year. It was a, well, you know, someday, sometime soon, it's somebody's going to be right. And if somebody says it every single year, then eventually one person will be right. And this is where, how the mighty Spurs have fallen. Look at that. It's the transition year. Tim's gone. And now they're number two in the West, probably.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, I'm not patting myself on the back. I mean, I just don't understand
why there's so many people that are getting in line to say it's a news story. We've been perpetually number two in the West for what, the last 20 years? I mean, it's for the most part, we are the number two team in the West that you set your watch by. We're never, well, I would say with the exception of one or two years, we're never generally the number one favorite, the SI or the ESPN consensus pick going into the season. But we're always right there at number two or number three, literally for the last 20 years.
That's just, and now that Tim is gone, there's no change.
I still don't see
can pencil them in for that number two slot with the current roster with the starting five, which honestly, that's still a really good starting five.
Oh, I'd be, you know, and that's the funny thing in losing a guy like Tim Duncan, you really underappreciate the fact that we just added Pau Gasol and David Lee, and we added them for, you know, for the most part, for peanuts. I mean, we added them.
Well, they
averaged economically.
Well, one guy's getting paid peanuts. The other guy's being paid fairly well, and so the average is an awesome contract.
The average is an awesome contract, and that is somehow lost in. Oh man, Tim Duncan just retired, and I get it. I mean, it should be because Timmy's, you know, he's the GOAT, he's the icon, but we had a pretty good offseason. I mean, we had, you know, a retirement that you really can't control. But aside from that, you know, we didn't land Kevin Durant. Well, that wasn't in the bag. I think we had a pretty good offseason. I'm comfortable with Pau Gasol and with David Lee. They have their flaws, and we've talked about those ad nauseum. But I really think, yet again, for the second straight year, we did very, very well in the offseason. And when you look at the development of players like you mentioned, I love the way you say Livio Jean-Charles. You almost throw a Yo Play kind of in the name, and it's adorable. I say we keep it up for the next season, at least until he decides to bolt for more money, and inevitably in 2 years. But guys like that, guys like Simmons that are still developing. You know, we've talked about Kyle Anderson, who's just developing into that player we need. I really feel a lot of hope. I mean, I know a lot of friends. You look at Dallas. Dallas is a perfect example. When Dirk leaves, there's going to be people jumping from buildings. And my gosh, Dirk hasn't even left, and the people have already started leaping. I mean, for us to lose a guy like Timmy, and as you said, to maintain that second position and to maintain that threat level, it is just, I mean, it's
maintain contender status, essentially.
Absolutely.
I think that's what it boils down to, right?
And that's the thing when you look at with Golden State, because Golden State is, you know, they're mortal in the regards that any team that plays a physical game is mortal. I mean, I don't know, maybe their bus goes off a bridge on the way to the stadium someday. I mean, anything can happen, and when that does, the Spurs are always in contention. We could win this year. It's definitely possible. I have no doubt that the organization's ultimate goal is not, well, crap, Golden State built the super team, I guess we're just rebuilding. I have all the faith in the world that the organization says, look, yet again, it's championship or bust. And I'm so happy and relieved to be a fan of an organization that can safely say that for yet another year.
Right. Well, their sights are set on the championship. they're contenders. They're doing the best they can while building for the to the future. I don't think that's the same thing as championship or bust. I mean, like, when you're on the short list of teams that could win it all, I think as a fan, that's a great place to be. I don't think that's – I was going to say that's all you could ask for.
No, you're right, because or busts indicate somewhat of a failure. And mm-hmm. although we might as fans be disappointed, I couldn't agree more with you. There's not – it doesn't mean that it's a failure of a season, and especially getting guys like Bertans to develop even more, things like that. It's all a means to an end, but we definitely do have the sights set on the championship.
Right. And so what is that run to the championship going to look like? That's what I'm curious about. What kind of offense do you see from the starting group with Tony, Kawhi, LaMarcus, Danny, and Pau out there? What kind of defense are they capable of playing? You know, the Spurs were the number one defense last year.
Well, the defense is going to drop. It's inevitable.
Right.
Duncan has been, you know, one of the biggest tragedies in league history is the fact that Tim Duncan never won a Defensive Player of the Year. He's arguably
travesty.
The most
absolutely. It was a tragedy for the Spurs fans. It was a travesty for the league. The fact that we're going to have to live that down and look at his numbers years from now, people will be shaking their heads.
Yeah, I would even venture to say easily the most underrated defender of all time. That being said, I think what he brought to the game from a defensive standpoint, his rotations, the way he saw and spaced the floor, mm-hmm. I mean, he just absolutely incredible. So it is going to drop off. There's no doubt about that. I actually, and again, it's the optimistic part of me that says this, I don't know that it's going to drop off that much. Am I saying the Spurs are a system team? No, that's not at all what I'm saying. I'm not denying that, but that's not what I'm saying. I just simply think in the way that this time last summer, we all were talking about, well, yeah, you know what, we got LaMarcus, we are awesome, everybody watch out. He's not that great of a defender, but he's playing next to Tim Duncan, so it doesn't really. And then who blew our socks off with his defense this year? I mean, I'm not
played
saying
pretty
he's
well.
All league yep. defense.
Played pretty well.
He played incredibly well.
He was better than I expected him to be. No
it
doubt.
Was better than he ever played in Portland. So I said that to say I don't see Powell being the screen door to the basket that some have said he is. I think obviously he doesn't have the lateral quickness that we would love, but I just don't. We are going to drop off. I'll reiterate that. I just don't think it's going to be a drop into this enormous chasm. I still think we're going to be a top four, top five team defensively.
Yeah, well, that would be fantastic if that's where they landed. I've just, you know, just again, thinking about not being able to see Tim out there calling those rotations and moving guys around and responding to a cutter and the guy on the 3-point line and playing between both of them and still being able to make it over to contest the shot and all of that stuff. It's just there's got to be drop off. And I'm not just talking about, you know, the tears leaving my eyes as I
Right.
Anyway, but no, I mean, we have so many permutations that the second unit can take on,
right.
And whether it's small ball or whether it's regular tall ball or whether it's
tall ball,
we have. I know. I loved the way that Pop talked about Boris giving them the ability to play medium ball. I think the standard straight out of the box second five, if you play bench and there's no starters out there at all, I'm excited to see Patty and Manu and Kyle. And then Bertans and Dedmon, maybe?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I think you'd probably have to go Lee and Dedmon. But at least to start the year.
Lee can't stretch the floor at all, right?
Well, that is the challenge to Lee, but we don't officially know that Bertans can either.
Oh,
we
my word.
We need to see a lot more.
Yeah, I mean, but he shoots Wait.
No, I've seen the video.
Okay.
That. I also saw the video of Boban looking 7-7, dominating the European League. I mean, that's let's separate the difference between the YouTube highlights from the European leagues to the YouTube highlights or even the daily matchups in the NBA. I'm not saying that your poor man's Bonner is not what he's cracked up to be. I'm just, again, this conversation, I'm just reticent.
I never called him the poor man's Bonner. Those are your words.
Can you call him the rich man's Bonner then?
No, I didn't. I called him the European.
Oh, that's
I said the evolutionary as well.
Much, much better. Anyway, I'm just reticent to have this conversation because I don't, you know, this is.
Are you allergic to speculations? Speculating?
Yeah,
suddenly?
I am, because it's mindless and it's aimless speculation. We have yet to even see a preseason game. Like, I want to see if these guys are even going to be on the roster. I want to see if they're going to be actively on the floor. Are we talking a team full of Austin Days, or are we talking about the pitch of guys?
Please,
that rise up?
Please, like, don't hurt me like that.
Your European Matt Bonner may be very – I mean, I guess we're speculating he could be a European Matt Bonner. He could be Dirk. He could be Austin Day. The gap that exists in what so many of our players can be, it's just hard for me to have a speculative conversation when we have so many new faces, when there is so much uncertainty, because it borders on hope. And it borders on dreams, and I don't want to have a dreams conversation because that doesn't, you know, that and a washing machine really don't go anywhere, even though they move around a lot. I just don't want to mindlessly throw this super team together in our head without seeing anything. I need a bigger sample size than, you know, 2 minutes of Latvian television on YouTube.
Well, there was the Summer League game.
Wait, what? The Summer League game?
Well, yeah. They only had his contract worked out in time for him to play a single game in the Summer League. It was the last.
I missed that.
You didn't see it?
No, I blinked and I missed his only active stateside performance, it sounds like.
Yeah, so he's drilling threes from, you know, 4 and 5 feet beyond the 3-point line.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, that does reassure me to know that when
that's just coming around picks, catching the ball, turning, and releasing.
When a JV defender is 12 feet away, he can knock down a three. That is exciting. No, you're right.
That's beyond what Austin Day was capable of. I'm at least moving him beyond that peg in the board. Goodness, you had to bring that up.
It's so sad that all we have to do is respond to the Austin Day comparison with one quick quip. And it immediately shuts that down. That was the depth of Austin Day's playing career. And he's a good kid.
He's a great kid. You know, Mrs. Wilco drew a nice little portrait of it, or painted a nice little portrait of him. And Austin Day.
Oh, isn't that dipping into the shallow end of the pool for
Well, you know, she did the entire championship team. He was on the roster, so he got a portrait done. Yeah.
She did the trainers too, and like the guys in the locker
room. She did RC and she did Pop, but she did not do any of the trainers. No. She also did not do Tim Ness. The fictitious guy who was who we used to pretend was taking care of the laundry.
Yes.
Remember?
Yeah. Remember Tim Ness.
Anybody who doesn't know who Tim Ness is, go check out the PTR lexicon
and educate
yourself.
Yeah. You have to do some digging, but you'll find it. No, I don't mean to, you know, be Debbie Downer or anything like that.
Well, no, you don't mean to be. You just regularly are.
Right. It's just inadvertent, and I wish I could teach it. It's inadvertent.
Wish you could teach.
It's a gift, JR. Uh-huh. I can't teach this pessimism and cynicism that I possess. I just think that we need to see more. We need to see more iterations.
Yes.
I think that
and we're not going to see any more for like you know, 2.5-3 months.
But that's my point is I think Pop and everybody in the organization shares the same sentiment. I think that we are going to know nothing about the I don't even want to call them the 2016-2017. 2016's dead. We won't know anything about the next Spurs team until the 2017 Spurs hit the floor in probably March. Let's say March, maybe even April. We'll have a very good idea of how we round up. And truly, that sounds extreme, but guys, that's basically what it is every year.
That's the Spurs. You wait until after the February rodeo road trip, and you go, okay, all right, let's take a look. What do we got here?
Right.
But I'm afraid that I'm no longer the man that I was when I left behind the childish things of my Houston upbringing. And joined the ranks of proud Spurs fans.
You evolved. Yes.
I evolved from a guy that didn't think about the team at all during the summer to requiring you to close your eyes, open your mind, and think about what is it going to look like. You got Pop here, who always tweaks his system to the players that he has. He asks them to do what they can do. He motivates them to stretch themselves and to develop their games in ways and in areas where it hasn't been strong before. And then he takes that whole mishmash and he throws the goulash together and he serves it up nice and fresh. And you gotta tell me you've got some kind of if even not an idea or a speculation, you've got a desire. What do you want it to look like?
Well, and if I'll step away from just what I'm saying right now, because what you're asking bluntly is dream. Tell me what your dreams are. I mean, I'm never going to give you up. I'm never going to let you down. I'm never going to hurt you. You're
don't
giving
run around
me
either.
All of that, and I don't. I don't want to dream because I think it's early and that the dreams are always what crash so hard for me. But if we're going to do that and we're going to pontificate, statistically, you're going to have somebody who Austin Days this season. You're going to have somebody who Jock Vaughns or who gosh, the list is long, who Matt Bonner's, but Matt has found a way to cling to his current position. Let's just use Austin Day. Statistically, you're going to have somebody who breaks off and really we don't hear from anymore. I would speculate just as a matter of process of elimination. Mm-hmm. That's going to be your play. That's going to be Livio Jean-Charles.
Okay.
And I don't want it to be, but I think that it is. So if you
I think I'm right with you as far as putting him at the bottom of my depth chart. I think right next to him, as far as who I'm concerned about beyond LJC, I'm concerned about Murray and then Simmons.
Well, I'm not as much concerned. Murray is—he's a guy that's got a lot of development, and I've kind of tried to temper my expectations on Murray. I really am not. He's going to be awesome, and I think you know he. Go back as long as we're dreaming and we're shooting for the stars. There's a part of me that says, you know, Murray's the next big thing. Look at his wingspan. Look at the motor on this kid. Look at if we could just somehow bring out a defense that wasn't seen in college. If we motivate him to play that defense, that you know he can get up and he can play defense on smaller guards and move laterally quickly with him. He's going to be an incredible player.
It's a blank slate.
I'm kind of looking at a player like that, going, oh man, he could blow up. You know, your boy Bertans, he could blow up. He could absolutely be the missing piece, a guy that can stretch and a guy that can almost play that Nowinski role for us. He could absolutely be just a revelation. I have hope that Kawhi is going to take yet another step forward this next year. I mean, I really do believe that he's going to move into that top three, top four percentile. I think LaMarcus is going to be so much more ingrained with the system. Tony's game, you know, a lot of people are going, oh, he's going to deteriorate even further. Tony's one of these guys that will have the ability with his wisdom, with his integration into our system and his wisdom as a basketball player, he'll be able to modify and change his games to suit what is needed on our floor. Yet we all make the mistake of, gosh, I wish he would just penetrate. I wish he was still the fastest, quickest guy in the league that could just spin through somebody and finish at the rim or teardrop over somebody. Guys, that Tony is dead. He's not coming back. Watch highlights, watch your DVDs, because that's the closest we're going to get to that Tony. But I still think Tony Parker could be effective. I still think he potentially could be an NBA teamer, an all-NBA teamer. It literally is just modifying his game. Mm. I mean, you look at the amount of assists that directly came from Parker to LaMarcus this last year. That's only going to improve.
Yeah.
Guys like Danny Green are going to get tighter about playing with LaMarcus. I mean, there's so many things that on paper are going to improve that if one domino falls, if Simmons takes another step forward and becomes a star, if Murray just blasts onto the scene and just tears through everything and learns it, picks it up well, works hard, if Bertans, you know, if one of those dominoes falls, then we're still the second, you know, we're still the second most, I guess, the second favored team to win it all this year. But it's still going to be fun to watch. If one of them doesn't fall, I really still see us in the second position, and I see us 1 year stronger and more experienced at that point.
Yep.
Have you ever seen Hot Tub Time Machine?
Yes, I have.
It's corny, but it's a guilty pleasure. It's one of those movies that if it's on, you got to watch it. It's so corny, but it's hilarious. And one thing that's super funny about that movie is, so they go back in time. I don't want to spoil it. Well, no, I'll spoil it. It's a hot tub. It's a time machine. There you go. There's a character in the movie that doesn't have an arm in present day. Well, they go back in time and he has his arm. So there's the running joke. Every time they see the guy out in public, they always wonder, is now the moment that he's going to lose the arm? He, you know, the guy accidentally drops a chainsaw and everybody goes, and everybody gets really excited because that's the moment. That's where I am right now with Kevin Durant and with the Golden State Warriors. I feel like
you've seen the future.
Oh, I feel like I've seen the future and they are armless. And I feel like they're carrying the chainsaw right now. And the basketball god of karma is right behind him, getting ready to push him down a staircase. And I'm waiting to see the chainsaw go up in the air. And if this is going to be the moment. So all of this season is, I guess that's why, in a nutshell, I don't want to speculate. Because it borders too much on hope, which can't really be substantiated with the sample size we have. Mm-hmm. And I'm excited whether we finish second or second. I'm really excited to see the development that takes place in the Spurs. And I'm looking forward to the sideshow that's going to come out of Oakland. And mm-hmm. I'm waiting for the chainsaw to come down at just the right time.
I guess, you know, rooting for a chainsaw is better than...
No. I'm not rooting for a chainsaw. Don't make me out to be a monster. I'm not rooting for a chainsaw. Well,
okay, so...
I know the chainsaw's coming down. I'm waiting patiently with my popcorn to watch it.
Waiting... How about this? I suppose waiting for a chainsaw is better than rooting for an asteroid.
Exactly. And of which I'm doing both. I don't know if you're talking about our political structure this year, but I'm actually doing the asteroid deal on that side of current events. When it comes to basketball, I'm simply waiting on the chainsaw to fall.
SMOD, sweet meteor of death. That's what you need to Google if you're concerned about politics at all. So that being said, before we work into our ending session, our unnecessary foolishness, our superfluous poppycock closing session, I want to talk real quick in a lead-in penultimate, if you will, segment on rumblings. The rumblings I've heard this week so far, and this is going to blow you away because I haven't said a word to you about this in our pre-show prep. The word is that Russell Westbrook is going to extend with the Oklahoma City Thunder. Your thoughts?
I actually have heard that. My sources as well have told me that, JR. And they say it's upwards of $85 million for 3 years. But, again, getting back to my disdain for the modern technological and internet-based media, I have to, you know, used to be we'd hear a story like this and it was a virtual lock. Now, if Woj says it, then that's a little bit different. But beyond that...
It's a lot different if Woj says it.
I still want to wait and I want to see what develops, but I really want to hear the press conference. I think there's going to be some very passive aggressive and very, very cutting remarks made if he does stay with
I'm going to make you speculate. I'm going to make you speculate on what he's wearing in the press conference.
Oh, good Lord. I don't even want to, what bed sheet or what. Yeah.
A bow tie and a bed sheet. I would like that. He could make it work.
We romanticized it. We talked about it because we had to, and it would have been. I mean, again, you got to take the phone call if he's calling saying, "I want to be a Spur." He's not a Spur. He doesn't fit anything that we do, and he's a cancer. So I think we dodged a bullet if that were to happen. That being said, he comes out tomorrow and says, "I want to be a Spur." I'm still picking up the phone, but I think it's a non-news story, and I'm just ready for the Russ news.
He's not a cancer. I think the jury is still out on whether on who the issue was, KD or Russ. So
agreed. Yeah, no, I can agree with that. I don't want the sneer in a black and silver uniform.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, if Russ ever made his way into one, that I'm sure there would be conversations about that. I'm sure there would be some understanding reached before. Anyway, we got to work into Superfluous Poppycock now. I understand that you have some wonderfully tasty unnecessary foolishness for us.
Well, I don't know if it's the Superfluous Poppycock moment of the podcast or if it's the X players that should burn in hell moment of the podcast. But Derek Fisher announced this week, or at least hinted, that he would be open to a possible comeback as a player. Posting a workout video on. I don't know where the heck. I don't care. It's freaking Derek Fisher. Like I said, burning
on,
hell.
On Facebook, he posted or something. The man's 42 years old.
I actually don't follow him on Facebook. So shockingly, he's 42. He doesn't quite have a brilliant coaching resume or acumen rather. And
resume.
And he's.
I love resume. It's acumen plus resume. I like it.
Well, he said on Twitter. On-court workouts have been a part of my regimen since I played my last game. If an NBA team expresses interest, I'm open to dialogue, but at the moment I have no steadfast plan to play again. Which is just a real underhanded way of saying, please call me, please. You know,
when you post a workout video with the hashtag, I'm not done yet.
Yeah.
Then that doesn't, anyway, he's not done with his workout yet because he was tweeting in the middle of his workout. See, that's what that means.
See, and this is where, when you try to make me out to be an evil person, if I was a person that wished for chainsaws, we'd be talking about chainsaws right now. I can guarantee you, but I'm not a person that wishes for chainsaws. I think natural selection will take its course very quickly with Derek, due to, you know, some geriatric injury or something. It would probably take all of 0.4 seconds for an injury to occur at this point in the man's life. A knee, a hip, something like that.
Bring up a bad number like that, and I just got to throw out another number. Fisher's year and a half, the Knicks were 40 wins for 96 losses.
Yes.
That's a better number that has 4 in it than the other one that you mentioned before.
No, you're very much right. I choose to embrace the nightmare and watch the cause of the nightmare slowly descend into senility and elderly dreams.
Embrace the nightmare. That's a great way to end this. I
would love to pick up Derek for our 15th spot and then immediately cut Derek. Sign him and then immediately cut him. Would you like to play
just
for the Spurs?
To say,
sign here. Now
just
get
to say, here's wow. And then wave him.
He's on my list. He's on my list of top 10 guys that I would speed the car up if I saw him.
You know, if they did that, then they'd have 5 years for him to go ahead and retire. They could hold him as part of, never mind.
Yeah, see, you get all strategic. I just go straight for the gut. Like, how can I make a grown man cry? This is the way I want to do it. You're all, like, Machiavellian. You're just really,
strategic? Yeah.
Sociopathic.
I think strategically sometime we'll maybe one of these days I'll talk about a Trump card that I held for about 6 or 7 months with an old client of mine that was – It was a lot of fun. Maybe I'll tell you the story, then you can tell. It'll sound probably less egotistical that way.
There you go. So, guys, Pounders, tune in next week.
No.
Kidney stones and trump cards.
There you go.
That's
there you go. Oh, wow. That's fantastic. And that will definitely do it for this episode, Pounders. We'll see you next time. Until then, keep safe and let it fly.